This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we take you behind the scenes in the heart of the Jefferson County Emergency Operations Center for a test run of KPTZ's new remote microwave emergency broadcast setup during the Great Shakeout Drill. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
In just a few minutes, there's going to be some sounds, and, you know, I advise everybody to realize this is not just a test. This is a major international drill. Region 10 FEMA is playing, the state of Washington is playing, and places around the world are playing.
That was Emergency Preparedness Advisor Rita Kepner briefing KPTZ's all-volunteer news team on the imminent Great Shakeout Drill, which took place one recent weekday morning. The team, which consisted that day of myself, former Compass co-producer David Cunningham, and Our Town producer Marianne McNellis, had assembled a bit early in the newly completed remote broadcast studio in the former bomb shelter adjacent to the county's sheriff's office that now serves as Jefferson County's Emergency Operations Center, in order to get training from KPTZ Chief Engineer Bill Putney on how to use the brand new gear that will allow embedded KPTZ reporters to broadcast news and information directly from the command center in the case of an actual emergency, equipment that we would be testing for the first time that day.
Okay, turn the key to the right.
Key to enable.
Okay. I know it's tiny print, but it's a small box.
It says enable, and then you can turn the switch to studio. And when that green light comes on, that's a connection to the studio.
Prepared for some.
There is a relay in the studio that if you turn this switch up to break in, you get a red light, and that breaks into the broadcast.
Okay.
So if there's nobody in the studio, you can still broadcast from here.
So this is a regular landline.
That's a regular landline.
If the phones are working just fine, we can use this landline to call. If the phones are not working, we go to microwave over here.
Right, or you can go, this will make a regular phone call too.
Oh, okay.
This is connected to the PBX at the radio station over the microwave.
Oh, okay.
It'll go.
So if for some reason this system's not working, they can put us on the air from this phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
If the station's got power.
And of course, there's also the low-band VHF two-way radio. So there's the microwave, there's the regular telephone system, and there's the low band VHF system. So there's triple redundancy there to get information from the EOC to the studio. And we'll have the same setups at the transmitter too. So if the studio falls off its foundations, we can go out to the transmitter and transmit from there. We tested that at the employee picnic.
So that's up and running now.
We know that works.
Right.
Yeah. This will all be documented, and I promise to have a blow-up of that panel so you can read it.
When the training was complete, I wandered into the next office, where I found Emergency Operations Manager Bob Hamlin sitting in an easy chair, awaiting the commencement of the drill. I asked him what would be happening.
Every year, we set off the emergency alert system and our siren system downtown and our Nixle warning system to indicate people to drop, cover, and hold for the annual Great Shakeout exercise. And a lot of people do. According to the news, there's nearly a million people signed up to do this exercise this morning in Washington, Oregon, California.
So this is not one of those drills where we're going to imagine bridges going out and dispatching sheriffs and police?
No, it is not an external drill. This is for individuals, for citizens and schools. Some schools, I understand, Blue Heron and a couple of other schools are doing a full drop, cover, and hold drill and evacuation drills and various things. It's up to the individual. I know that some government offices and some businesses will do the same. Probably we should all do the same rather than stand around and look at the equipment. But
it was just at this point that the drill commenced.
Hey, problem tuning that with the new hams on KD6 CEO. Anybody out there?
There's a confirmation. Tim Quackenbush confirmed over the radio that
that the tsunami warning did go off downtown. So
it's all automatic. I would feel real uncomfortable if it didn't work.
Uh-oh. Jeff Kahn, EOC, sent me something. What could this possibly be? The shakeout exercise now in progress.
Wouldn't it be great if an actual earthquake hit just right now?
It'd be very confusing.
In case our listeners were worried about that music in the background and thinking that we were having a big party down here during an emergency, that is actually KPTZ on the air. We're monitoring KPTZ here.
Plugged in planet.
A little bit behind it, behind the clock.
Yeah.
Stand by. This is a test of the emergency alert system and NOAA Weather Radio's warning alarm. To participate in today's Great Washington Shakeout Statewide Earthquake Drill, drop, cover, and hold now. If you are also involved in today's tsunami warning communications test, follow your tsunami communication response procedures.
That's
now.
Us.
This is a test. Tsunami warning is in effect. Repeat, this is only a test. The following tones will conclude this test.
We all dutifully ducked under desks or stood in doorways while the drill was underway. Immediately afterwards, Bill Putney established a link with DJ Tim Quackenbush at KPTZ's studio in Mountain View Commons and went on the air. The new remote broadcast equipment functioned perfectly.
Is that reinforced, Bill?
Oh, hi.
So,
you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'll go right. Okay, after this the alert, I'll go straight to you. I'll announce it on air and I'll make you hot. Bye.
Okay, yeah. So we're out here. We've got the KPTZ news staff out here for some training this morning. We've got the Emergency Operations Center. Maybe you can hear some of the things that are going on in the background. All of the shakeout alerts are going. I'm hearing the EAS box, the emergency alert system box running. And we've got some ham radio nets going here. So the EOC is in full swing. We all ducked under the table at 10:15 this morning.
Frankly, it's the first time I've heard the audible signal. Maybe I just haven't been listening, but having this type of drill is really very beneficial for everybody to be all together, have the Great Washington Shakeout. And I know there has been a lot of talk about us up here in Washington not being particularly prepared because our lack of extreme natural disasters, perhaps not being as prepared as other places, but I think that from what I'm seeing here, we're doing everything we can to let people know what can be done during something like an earthquake and tsunami.
That's right, Tim. You know, one of the things that we at KPTZ have kind of committed ourselves to is being prepared to bring people that information when they need emergency relief information. But everyone should be prepared. Everyone should have a plan. Everyone should, at least in their home and in their workplace, know where they're going to go if something happens. If you work down on Water Street or one of the low-lying areas around, you need to seek higher ground because you don't know what's coming next. It could be a tsunami. If you're at home, you need to think about where will I go? Where's the safe place in the house or outside? How do you reconnect with your family? Do you have a place to meet up? Do you have contact arrangements? What are you going to do afterwards? That's the important part of this drill, is to just take a moment, look around you, think about what you would do. You know, how would you find your loved ones? How would you take care of your pets? Do you have the water you need if the water supply is damaged? If you don't have communications, you know, what do you need? If you don't have power, what do you need? Those are the things that everyone needs to prepare for in this kind of a post-disaster era.
While Tim and Bill talked, I went back over to talk with Bob Hamlin about things that might go wrong with the system.
Well, so the first thing that's going to happen, though, in a real earthquake and tsunami is the microwave system is going to be wiped out.
I guess it all depends on what size. There's some survivability of a microwave system. It can be distorted a little bit, but we have a really wide parameter on these little ones. These are pretty inexpensive little microwaves, and they've got a real forgiving parameter. So if the towers are not down, that should be survivable. You know, we look at this as the sky is falling and the end of the world, and you know, it's degrees. It is survivable. If you do the right stuff, it's survivable. The part that's going to be hard is the couple of weeks afterwards. And we forget about that. We always think about running away from the tsunami and running away from the getting out of the building and all that. But what we forget about is the food supply is going to be cut off, and maybe we're not going to have any power, and we're not going to have any water, and that's the part that worries me.
But wasn't there an estimate that this building could be, in the worst case, Cascadia subduction zone quake, that this building could be toast?
You know, somebody told me that, but I don't buy that. The people who said that were never in the room, and I haven't even spoken to them. So it's really,
yeah, which agency was it that said that?
It was FEMA, but I guess that tells you something right there.
Well, I haven't really spoken to you since that dire New Yorker article, the one that predicted everything west of the I-5 corridor would just be toast, and that we could expect no help for 3 months. That it could be that long before new supplies came in. And believe me, I finally, after I read that article, went down to Costco and laid in some very serious supplies.
And, good for you. Yeah. What was your target number of days self-sufficient?
I took that 3 month mark very seriously. So we have things that we never actually eat ordinarily that much, but a great big bag of pinto beans, a huge bag of basmati rice, and I figured that if we're going to have to be doing food rationing, we should get things that we're not wild about.
Well, I kind of like the blueberry pancake mix that I have. So, we've tried the pancake mix, and we tried the great breakfast. They have a couple of the providers have some really excellent meals, and so I've got the 3 month target for my family too.
We also bought several cases of canned salmon, tuna. So we got protein stuff, and then we did get things that we really like as well. Almonds and
keep a close watch on that because it's got short shelf life.
Right. Well, and our plan is actually, we've already started doing this, is to cycle through it. So there's like great quantities of it, but we're sort of using those supplies in our day to day with the plan of saying, all right, it's down to the last case of salmon, and so it's time to.
I got one more thing I gotta do.
Hamlin was again drawn away from our interview by his duties with the ongoing exercise. I wandered back and listened to the end of the emergency broadcast, after which Bill Putney, David Cunningham, and I fell into a discussion of logistics and the peculiar position our privileged status within the command center placed us at times of emergency. My question is whether I, as news director, should be here or at the studio, or at the transmitter.
We're hoping that someone who's very close to the studio, like Mike Schlexer, can walk over there and take care of things. Or somebody else in that same category who can make sure, who knows where all of the what all the buttons do and can make sure we're live.
Right.
And then one of us will be here. Now, obviously, in a situation of a disaster, you might not be available, I might not be available. That's why we have a hierarchy. So the first thing, for instance, if we have a big earthquake and there's a tsunami warning, I'm calling you to see if you're available, because I know you're number one on the list. It's not really a phone tree per se, but
I think texting is probably the best.
Maybe.
Depends on how catastrophic the cell phone failures are.
Just so you know, I've heard the texts get through, you know, when other things...
Yeah, if there's power, the texts get through. Yeah, if there's no power,
there's no
then
power.
Maybe not.
It's because we won't know who's available and who's not, there's no point in having a true phone tree. We just have a hierarchy.
If we can't contact each other, we should all head here.
That's the thing, is if I try to reach you, I get no response. And if Marianne is also on, and I try to reach Marianne and I get no response, I'm just coming down. And if three of us come down, that's okay. Then one of us stays as needed.
Right.
And one goes to the station if needed. You know, we'll wing it, but at least we have a plan how to wing it.
And one of us goes out reporting. I mean, this is another thing that we've talked about before is the way we serve as eyes for both the community and for the EOC.
Right, but what the EOC folk were pointing out to me today, which made perfect sense, is really the best place for reporting is right here because all of their people...
All their eyes are out there.
They'll get it first before anybody else, and we can't be everywhere. Our news team is not quite as big as Como News or ABC or anything like that. So we'll... In any case, they'll get it first here. So whoever's here will have access to all that information, and we'll get the official stuff from them in terms of what they want put out to the community. So that's we're just a conduit to get that information out.
As I was working through the my incident command system study, and I came to the part where they're talking about how the public information officer will be addressing the media, and I grew really confused. I thought, well, now, when we're embedded at the EOC, are we acting in the capacity of public information officers, or are we the media?
It's a very good question, and the answer is, first and foremost, our job, because of our arrangement with the EOC, is to get out their official information. We don't question
it. So we're kind of acting as a public information.
In a sense, when we make those announcements.
Yeah, Kepi is the public information officer, and we're the conduit. So, I mean, they're in Oregon, I think this last spring, there's officially a first broadcaster designation for news people, for broadcast news people. And it's a credential that news people can get so that they can get into areas that would otherwise be restricted to the public and put you on a comparable footing with everyone else that's involved in disaster relief. And so the state of Oregon has kind of seen that and made that an official position in the state of Oregon. And I think there's the Washington State Broadcasters Association is working on something comparable with Washington State to do.
In essence, that's exactly what Bob Hamlin is doing with us. And he said this is the first time he's ever allowed members of the media into the sanctuary here.
It's very unusual anywhere that this happens.
We were joined at this point by Bob Hamlin and EOC Public Information Officer Kepi Keplinger.
We're talking journalistic ethics here, Bob.
This actually, it behooves us to come up with a protocol. What we were talking about, Bob, is because we are embedded here, we will hear things that you may not want put out as an official announcement. Our job is to be a conduit for your emergency information, which we put out word for word as you told it
you
to us.
You are exactly right.
There's two different kinds of information, though. And we have to be careful what our purpose is. And our fundamental purpose is what you can do as a citizen to protect yourself or to avoid some issue that is in our community, and traffic issues or fire apparatus or whatever, and so that's sort of the type one information level. I'm not interested in being a news source. We're not in the news business. We're in the warning and alert business.
Sure.
And so warning and alert is what our focus is going to be. The rest of it, which is the color, and I don't mean to downplay it by calling it that, but the color, the background, the whys, and the other issues, that's a totally different thing. That's your business.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you fill this with, as long as we're doing the warning and alert That's the important part of it. And that has to do with where you're going to get information, where you're going to get food and water, where what's broken, all of those things that the citizen needs to know in order to continue to function properly. So we're not going to be your news source. We're going to be your information source. And I think there's a difference. Ethically, I don't know how you would define that, but there is a difference. The trust that we have with you, we're going to have to build that level of trust.
Sure.
Because you're going to have privy. If you're in this building, you're going to have privy to a whole lot of information. And our number one rule in this business is nothing is as initially reported. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's all conjecture until it's
confirmed.
Really confirmed. And then it's confirmed. Maybe that's not something we want to be passing along. Mm-hmm. We're going to be as honest and forthright and complete as we possibly can be, because I've been in the business long enough to know that you can't be dishonest in this business at all. If there's a problem, you better talk about the problem and clarify it. But sometimes it is going to have to be staged, if that's the right word. It's going to have to be. We're going to have to look at whether or not it has a value to the citizen that's at risk. And a lot of times it's going to be early on stuff that we're just not going to have a real big picture of. So our trust with you is it's going to have to be earned.
From the Jefferson County Emergency Operations Center during the Great Shakeout Drill, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. Remember, if you have a news tip or story idea of any kind, send an email to news@kptz.org. That email again for news tips is news@kptz.org. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans. We'll be right back.